The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. The second hour is live, and we appreciate you being here. Busy first hour, a lot to do the rest of the way. And Tyler Horka returns to the program. He covers Mississippi State. And quite frankly, since that bowl win and ugly incident after the game, we have not heard much about Mike Leach. Tyler, great to see you. Welcome you back to the program. So what's happening in Starkville? Good afternoon.
Yeah, Paul, it has been a while, and I appreciate you for having me back on. But just want to say I'm actually not in Starkville right now. This is my mom's house in North Texas. My brother's getting married on Saturday, but I got a text from your guys yesterday, and they said if you want to hop on the Feinbaum show tomorrow, we got a slot for you. And I don't care if I'm on vacation or not. I've always got time for you, Paul.
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to sound like I'm getting ready for June and all the weddings. Forget Mike Leach for a second. What's happening with the wedding? How's it going?
It's good. I saw my brother for the first time this week last night, and his fiance was there, obviously. And I'm not going to lie to you, they looked stressed. And I was just thinking to myself, man, when it's my turn to do this in a few years, I hope I keep it as put together as they are, because here they are a couple days away from the biggest day in their life. And yeah, they do look stressed, but they look like they got it all taken care of and figured out too. So I've always been following in his footsteps. This week's no different.
Well, I should have been smart enough to figure it out. I didn't have a chance to look over at the monitor and see you, because you and your running buddy up in Oxford have some of the more creative backdrops for our FaceTiming. So my apologies for not being more attentive. Well, congratulations to your family, and we hope it's a good weekend out there weather-wise. It's certainly talk about getting married on Good Friday, Easter weekend. It's hard to find a more blessed time of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. The weather's awesome here right now. I don't know if you could see through the back window there, but it's about 65 and sunny, and I hope it's that way in a couple of days as well. Appreciate it, Paul.
Well, we know Mike Leach won't be at the wedding, and if he were, it would be very exciting. So before you left Starkville, let's catch up on Mike Leach and what has happened, and what is the feeling for year two?
Yeah, you mentioned it's been pretty quiet since a not-so-quiet bowl game. We all know what happened at the end of that bowl game. And when it's quiet like this around a Mike Leach program, you have to think that it's a good thing, because we know how noisy last year was with all of the transfers and, you know, kids basically defecting from the program, whether it was Leach wanting them to or not. Anytime you lose over, you know, a dozen, close to two dozen players, I mean, college football programs are all about the players. If you don't have any, you're not going to win football games. So then last year, of course, with the COVID protocol, sometimes you're not even playing football games if you don't have the players. So it's been quiet. And the guys that are here, from everyone I've talked to, we've talked to Leach a couple times after some spring practices. Everyone has said that everyone's bought in. The players who are here right now want to play for Mike Leach, and they're working hard. And you got to remember that these practices that they're getting right now, they didn't have last year. And I know everyone didn't have practices last year in the spring because of COVID. But when you just hired a coach in January and then 2 months later, you're supposed to be on the field with them for the first time, and you're not, and you don't get those, they're not taking these for granted. I'll tell you that.
Could we go back to the end of the game? Because there was such a hullabaloo made out of that, Tyler, the end of the bowl game. And a lot of criticism rained down. I've spoken to people in that program, and I'll let you answer it. But they felt like some of the television coverage maybe didn't accurately depict Leach, especially since he was preoccupied while it was all going on. Has anything been resolved? Has anyone been dealt with? Do you know anything more about what we saw many, many months ago?
So the biggest thing that I still get emails from readers and Twitter comments is, has Mississippi State done anything to punish the kids that took place in that brawl? And I think in January, Tulsa came out pretty quickly and they said these guys have been suspended and they're doing community service projects and they're having to do all this. Mississippi State has not said any of that. And basically they released a statement the very next day and said, we're handling all of this internally. And to go back to your point that a lot was made of it, obviously in the moment, that was a really big thing to happen in college football. You see the dugouts clear in baseball, and obviously it's opening day, and you'll probably see a little bit of that this year. You don't really see that in football all too often where both benches, you know, are engaged in a brawl like that. So I think it was a lot of people being prisoner of the moment. Obviously, when something like that happens, everyone wants to talk about it, and that's what happened. It did get kind of pushed under the rug rather quickly, though. At the end of the day, nobody got severely hurt, and if that would have happened, then it would have been a totally different story. I still think it's a bit of a stain on maybe that game and the way that season ended, but it's something you can move on from pretty quickly, because I know everyone wants to say Mike Leach programs are this and Mike Leach programs are that. At the end of the day, I don't think this defines what Mississippi State is under Mike Leach. That's going to come with wins and losses, and obviously there were more of the latter last year. That's what they're trying to correct right now. They're trying to, you know, be a winning football team, quite frankly.
You've covered this program for a couple of years. Does it feel like they're about to turn that corner?
It's hard to say. I will say that I've talked to people in the last week who have said this is the most conditioned Mississippi State football team that they've ever seen. And obviously in March and April, that's all anyone wants to talk about is how good did the strength and conditioning staff do with these guys in January and February. They said they've done an excellent job. And another thing that's very important is I talked about the importance of having these practices and learning Mike Leach's system. The two position groups that somebody told me have stood out the most in practices are the offensive line and the wide receivers. Last year's offensive line was, quite frankly, a total disaster in the first few games. It's the reason why KJ Costello got hurt and we didn't see him in the latter half of the season. It's the reason why that offense couldn't move the football for, you know, majority of the games in the first half of the season. And then obviously wide receivers in a Mike Leach offense, that's your bread and butter. Those are the guys who are touching the ball the most. If those guys look good, then maybe we will see a Mike Leach true air raid offense at Mississippi State. I know last year's didn't look great for a lot of the season, but to turn the corner, like you say, it really all rides on that offense. And all things considered, they're doing quite well in spring practices right now.
Tyler, I know that certainly is a big topic, but if you listen closely in Starkville, there has also been a lot of chatter lately about women's basketball. We all know Coach Schaefer left. He took his Texas team to the Elite Eight. And I'm just reading headlines. I'm not there, but it just seems like a lot of players have left and there's a lot of uneasiness after 1 year. Can you give us an update on that?
It's kind of crazy the similarities and the parallels you can draw between what happened in Mike Leach's first football season and what happened in Nikki McCray Penson's first women's basketball season. Talked about the defections with the football team and how players make your program. There's only up to 15 players on a college basketball roster. And when half a dozen, literally six players have entered the transfer portal in the last month, when almost half of your roster says, this is not where I want to be, this is not where I want to play, that's a problem. And I think it's a bigger problem. I think Nikki McCray Penson has a bigger problem on her hands than Mike Leach had last year. Everything that she said and the people that I've talked to say that they're going to get good transfers. They just got one from Tulane coming in, that conference's player of the year. So that's a good replacement for one of those players, but you've got to do that five more times. That's asking a lot. And this is a team that went 10-9 and had a losing conference record, didn't make the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2014. There were a lot of firsts this last season, first since in a bad way. You know, you never want to say this is the first time we haven't done this since, or this is the first time we haven't done that since, but that's what happened with this basketball program. It's definitely declining a little bit right now, and it's going to be all up to who she brings in to replace those players that left, and are the players that stayed bought in. And quite frankly, after that, is Nikki McCray Penson a good D1 SEC women's basketball coach, that's also yet to be determined.
Yeah, and as most people watching remember, Tyler, this is a program that has twice played for the national championship in recent years, nearly winning it, barely losing on a last-second shot. Anyway, for another day, but I couldn't help but have heard about that the other day, as I'm sure you're hearing about it quite often. Well, anyway, enjoy the weekend. We won't bother you until the wedding is over, but we look forward to getting you back here soon. Always good to have you on.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Tyler Horka joining us from the family wedding out in Texas. We will take a break. Great weekend to get married, by the way. 855-242-7285. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back to our program and back to the call as we go. Brooks Kabina reporting at this hour that Coach Ogeron has been formally requested to testify in front of a hearing on April 8th. That is a Senate committee in Baton Rouge following Gloria Scott's testimony about Darius Geis. Senator Regina Barrow says Ogeron has not yet responded and has until Tuesday. At that hearing the other day, Mrs. Scott essentially accused Ogeron of lying because Ogeron said that he did not try to dissuade Darius Geis of reporting the situation. Anyway, more on that later. It's a big story coming out of Baton Rouge. Keith is up next on Long Island. Hello, Keith.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are well. Thank you. How are you?
I can't complain too badly. Couple of things. First of all, and most importantly, I really like those glasses you had on yesterday with the clear frames.
Oh, yeah, I think
what brand were they? Let me put it.
Yeah, I have to go see if I can dig them up. They're a Japanese brand. I'll have to. I will. I believe I found them in either New York or Nashville. It shows you I do a lot of glasses buying.
Well, I try to, but my wife puts a kibosh on most of it, and when we're watching, she's a fan too. So when we're watching the show, I'll say, "Hey, look at that pair," because you know.
Well, Keith, I must confess, I finally stopped about 2 or 3 years ago. I had kind of gone on a spree, but I'll dig those up, and it's an unusual brand, but I have one or two pair like that.
I really liked them, but she tells me when I have my own show, I can have as many glasses as you got. So, that's that.
But thank you.
Sure thing. I really did like them. But on to the sports thing, with regarding paying players. You know, the only legitimate way that, in my humble opinion, regarding paying players is that every single scholarship player, regardless of status, whether they sit the bench or start, has to be paid the same amount. There's just there's no way to do it other than that without the rich buying, you're just making it a level playing field, except now you're paying people. So the guy you're paying to play quarterback at the University of Connecticut makes the same amount of money as a guy playing quarterback at Ohio State or Alabama, you know, if you're paying student athletes. And the other thing is you can see the effect of this. There is kind of a way to see the effect of this is with St. John's University in New York. Years ago, they didn't have dorms there. So they played the local, they paid the players a housing allowance, and I think it was $3,000 or $5,000 a year. And they used to get some great talent because the parents, you know, would, you know, well, I don't know if the parents got the money, but, you know, they used to get some really, really good, outstanding local talent there. Then when they built dorms and they stopped doing that, the talent level coming in was, you know, suffered a little bit. But there is a way to, I mean, you know, there is a thing that you can look at and see, you know, how that sort of affects the competition, et cetera, of various, you know, levels and institutions. Hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
Hello? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm on cheek the button. So, anyway, did you hear me?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting theory, and I heard everything but the very end.
No, I was just saying that from looking at the what used to happen at St. John's and where they got a housing allowance, which
right.
was basically the same as paying a student, you can look and see what happened with the talent level when they stopped paying that housing allowance to their athletes. Versus when they were paying that housing allowance.
That's a really good point because that St. John's 50 or 60 years ago was an absolute powerhouse in basketball, and it began to fade away. I do think it's on the comeback trail. And by the way, I will try to get you the next time we talk, Keith. I'll try to line up the eyeglasses for you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. JD is up next. Hello, JD.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
I'm well. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know, you had the guy call yesterday about Greg Norman. Do you remember that?
I had nightmares about that, yes.
Okay. Well, I think he tried to lead you down the wrong path, and I'll kind of explain why here in a second. So, obviously, that was 96. At that point, Greg's 41 years old, and he had already won a British Open. So, He didn't change his iron shaft. If you'll look back, there was a British rider that told him the night before. He said, "Greg, even you can't F this up."
Right.
And then you know, he had Butch Harmon come in because he had said a lot of times in a lot of interviews that he was nervous. And that morning, he said that he was getting stuck in his swing. And you know, me and a lot of other people play golf, we kind of understand what he means. He just didn't have it that day. It had nothing to do with his iron shafts or anything like that. The guy didn't need the money. He wanted to win the Masters. He just couldn't do it.
No, JD, I will tell you this. One year, I'm trying to remember what year it was, maybe 89 or 90 or somewhere in that range. Norman was on the leaderboard. Yeah, he was like one shot out with four holes to go, and he did his typical Norman the last four holes. Back then I covered the Masters every year, and I happened to walk in the locker room to interview him, and all of a sudden the door flung open, and there was like only two or three people in there. Norman walked in. I'm trying to remember what he threw down. I mean, he had something in his hand, and literally threw it against the locker and said, "What do I have to do to win this blanking golf tournament?" And I'm like, man.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted it.
To your story, 7 years later, he didn't care about money. And he would have paid $40 million to win the Masters.
Right. All right. One more thing. So let's say, Paul, and all of your athletic ability, just like myself, we've just won the Masters. 360 days later, we're about to have a champions dinner. What's on yours?
Oh man, I would probably just do something to, very basic because I would have a couple of choices. I remember one year when the guy who was it the guy from Scotland had what's it called haggis, which is like the guts of a sheep. I would have hamburgers, fries, chicken, and steak. I would make sure everybody had something they could eat.
Pretty solid, my man. Well, Well, you be good, and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, and by the way, that is one thing that I will never have to worry about, whether it's on my street or at the local city muni, to ever have to plan a champion's dinner because of my golf game. I'm not sure I'll ever play another 18 holes long or be in a position where I'd have to worry about that. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, if they start to pay, you know, the big money draw sports like football and basketball,
mm-hmm.
how are they not going to have to pay all of the sports, like the women's synchronized swimming, the ping pong team, the bowling league? I mean, how are they going to, you know, it seems to me like if you're going to pay.
Well, they're not going. Here's the answer. They're not going to. If they change this, it's going to be universal. You're not going to. The athlete can get whatever he or she can get. It's not going to be dictated by what sport you're in.
Okay. It just seems like it opens up a Pandora's box.
Of course it does.
Every single college athlete will be entitled money.
Well, Mike, that's why you have to put some cap on this. You just can't allow a free market system. Otherwise, you and I both know the better players are all going to go to the places where they can make the most money.
Yeah, I would definitely say you're right on that. I was just curious, Paul. It just seems to me like it's opening up a big can of worms. Have a good day, brother.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, there's 100 cliches I could throw at you. But once you open the barn door, you can't keep anyone in there. I mean, it's over. And by the way, it's over anyway. I don't care what Mark Emmert says or anybody else. There is going to be some legislation in some form or fashion here in a couple of months. The fact that the NCAA has not done anything until now is the most intriguing part of this. We'll take a break. More to come. We've had a lot of guests, and we will continue along that track, as well as your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
A lot of conversation about jobs right now, and there's some reports that Texas may be filling its job with the Texas Tech coach. But UNC is now open. One of the biggest jobs in college basketball, although if you study the history of the school, it has often been kept inside. In fact, after Dean Smith retired, his longtime assistant was elevated to the position, and then Matt Daugherty, and now Roy Williams. So those are all people that have worked there. Roy Williams just completed his press conference in Chapel Hill.
Everybody wants to know the reason, and the reason is very simple. Every time somebody asked me how long I was going to go, I would always say, as long as my health allows me to do it. But deep down inside, I knew that the only thing that would speed that up, if I did not feel that I was any longer the right man for the job. I'm not going to say the best man, because I never thought I was the best at anything. But 15 years at Kansas, I thought I was the right man. And this time at North Carolina, I thought I was the right man. I no longer feel that I am the right man for the job.
Roy Williams announcing today that he is done in Chapel Hill. Let's check in with John next up. Hey, John, thank you, and good afternoon.
Hey, thank you, Paul. Thank you for taking my phone call. It's a beautiful day in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Beautiful day for the Arkansas program. It's just basketball, baseball, looking forward to the football program. But I'm really concerned that all this winning is going to cost us a lot of money, and I'm just curious what you think it's going to take over the next few years to keep Musselman here. I appreciate the taking the phone call, and I'll listen to what you got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's going to take a tremendous commitment, because I would say Coach Muss is going to be one of the most desirable coaches in the country. And, you know, whether or not, and I'm sure he is being wooed right now, but, you know, to me, it seems like he has a great job. And it's one thing, there's a lot of theories on coaches who move around, but, you know, he has been a couple of places, and, you know, I don't know if you can do much better than Arkansas. And that is not just a blanket statement, but you can recruit there, you have great facilities, and most important, you have among the most fiercely loyal fan base in the country. So I'm sure they are having conversations now, and I know what I would do. I mean, I'm not a big believer in throwing money after an average coach, and, you know, we saw that at Tennessee in football. I mean, there was just no reason to re-sign Jeremy Pruitt, but the school was trying to act like they were being supportive, and it blew up in Philip Fulmer's face. The situation in basketball was a little bit different there. Rick Barnes was going to UCLA. He had an offer. He may have even accepted it. They paid him more money, and the program, even though it didn't fare well this year in the tournament, is on very solid footing. Arkansas, I think, needs Coach Musselman more than he probably needs it. So I would sit down with him and say, what do you want? Yeah, negotiations are two-way streets. You know, everybody thinks it's always about money. It's not always about money. Sometimes it's about respect. Sometimes it's about the little things that really matter the most. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Ed, who is in New Orleans. Hello, Ed.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are great. Thank you.
In regards to the thing about paying the athletes and stuff like that and all, you know, I hate to keep harping upon that and all, and I know it's because it takes away from the enjoyment of the sports. But the thing about it is I want to ask you this. Okay, it seems like we're going in a direction where one of the best guests that you could have today would be a labor attorney, because as they become employees, it opens up all kinds of other areas between schools, between fans, just between the general populace and stuff like that as to their responsibilities as employees. I know here in New Orleans, they had one of the attorneys that's seeking work all the time. He talks about extra funds going between when two employees get in a fight or something like that on the same company, and one of them happened to break the jaw of the other one. There's called a superior responding or something where they can get extra monies and stuff like that and all. You know how you had this thing with the Tennessee player being hit by the Florida player?
Right.
Would that now be two employees? I mean, would they be able to go against each university for that kind of thing? Please let me know what you see going further.
Yeah, Ed, I think you've raised a great point. You know, it's unintended consequences and intended consequences. And if you start paying players, they're no longer independent. They're no longer just students. They come under employees. And I'm no expert on employee law or labor law, but there's some intricacies and complexities that I think we just heard from you. Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call. Bob is in New York. Hey, Bob. Welcome. Bob, you there?
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Bob, we're doing great. Thank you.
All right. Hey, a recent topic on the show is Texas versus Texas A&M football programs. Who's on the rise? Who's going to be a consistent player and a better program there? I think the Aggies are definitely poised in that position like that, and I just wanted to know your opinion.
I believe they are much better positioned than Texas. And even though Sarkisian was a good hire, and I think he's better than Tom Herman, I don't know if he's going to be dramatically better. And you know, Jimbo Fisher is now in his, about to start his third year. He's got that program rolling. He's recruiting at the highest level. He finished fourth in the country. He has among the very best facilities in the country. And he also has something that the University of Texas does not have, and that is a sane fan base. And what I mean by that is the Texas fans are delusional. I mean, I had somebody, we had a fan the other day still talking about Colt McCoy getting hurt and blaming that for not winning the the national championship in 2009. Get over it.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, yeah, I love the Aggies, and I love your show, Paul. And take care. Have a great Easter.
Thank you very much. Happy Easter to you. And we will be here tomorrow on Good Friday. I know a lot of you will be off, and I'm glad you are. But we will be here and hopefully keeping you company. How about Jerry in Alabama next? Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today, sir?
I'm well. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, good. Look, I'll probably get chastised for asking this question, but I see where the mayor, governor of New York, he has 9 women making accusations against him for sexual harassment.
Right.
And I saw on the bottom of the screen yesterday where Deshaun Watson had already about 21 accusations against him. And I haven't heard any talk show host or NFL Live or anybody ever mentioning this. Wonder what the problem is.
Well, you've raised
it. I don't mean it to be a smart.
No, no, that's fine. I mean, I can't believe the governor of New York is still the governor, but, you know, I think when you grow up to royalty, and he did, his father was a 4-time governor, you tend to think that nothing is applicable to you. And I've never met Andrew Cuomo, and quite frankly, I never want to meet Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah, me too.
I have met Deshaun Watson and liked him very much, and I am fairly surprised by the accusations, but this is not a story that will be swept under the rug. This is a very serious story because the allegations are so high in number. And, you know, there's an issue going on there. Remember the timeline. Deshaun Watson said he wanted to leave the Texans and all these things started. I don't know what the truth is. I do know that you can manufacture allegations against an individual, but to manufacture this many, hard to believe.
Yeah, that's right. Look, a man can't even say, hey, I like your hairstyle today now without getting accused of something.
No, no, and I think that's an interesting question, and I think men in any position, whether they're an athlete or a preacher, I talked to a preacher once, and he told me that he will never get in a car alone with a woman or have lunch with a woman other that is not his wife. And you know what? Pretty good advice.
I know some pastors as well.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I wouldn't go to, ain't no way I'd go somewhere with another woman. Unless it was emergency, had to take her to the hospital or something like that. But anyway, I appreciate you taking my call, and I'm like you. It's getting to be bigger and bigger, it seems like, and I hope and pray the young man has not done this crazy stuff.
I would agree with you on that, Jerry, because he's a talented athlete. And you know, you have to remember though that the people that are judging him on television right now are his peers or former peers, and the people that are judging Andrew Cuomo are professional commentators. So there's a difference. So we'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back, and Rick is up next in California. Hello, Rick.
Hello.
Hey there. Rick, you there? I don't think Rick is there, or he was there. Anyway, sounds like he was listening to, he was talking to us and listening to another station at the same time. Mac is in Mississippi. Hello, Mac.
Hey, Paul. I enjoy your show very much. And
thank you.
Hope you're doing well.
I am. Thanks a lot.
I want to ask you a couple of things. Your opinion. It occurred to me if this let's start playing college players. Will they be employees of the universities?
You know, Mac, we have a Harvard-educated lawyer on in a couple of minutes, and I am going to defer to him because I'm not sure the intricacies of exactly what will apply and what won't. So we're about 10 minutes away from talking to him, and that is one of the first questions I will ask him.
Okay. It occurred to me also, if they are, would that permit them to, since they're private employees, if they are, they might be able to unionize. Would they be able to do that?
In fact, the union situation has already been tested. There was a player at Northwestern, which is a private institution, and they were able to unionize. And I think you're going to see something like that. There is a union organizer who is very prominent in all this, and he will be heard from.
I have one more question. Will these, since they're private employees, will they be able to have agents?
Another good question. Mac, you have asked three great questions, and I am going to get you an answer for all of them in just a minute. I wish I had the answer to them, but I'm just a talk show host. Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff, thank you, and good afternoon to you.
Hey, how's it going today? Hope y'all are well.
We are.
I'm always a basketball fan here, but I want to hear about how we think the Cats are going to do in football. Mark Stoops is doing really well, raising the bar on football, and are we going to start beating some SEC opponents besides Vanderbilt?
Well, I think he has. I vaguely remember them disemboweling Tennessee a couple of months ago.
Love when we beat Tennessee, of course.
Yeah, that was quite a win. I think Mark Stoops has done a good job. And I understand some frustration this year. We talked to Mark about it the other day, and I thought he had some very, very good answers. They weren't just coach-speak answers. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate it. Let's grab another one. Diane is up next in Naperville, Illinois. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I think I just heard the tail end of a comment that sort of made me want to call. Women should not get into, or a man should not get into a car alone with a woman.
No, Diane, I was simply responding to the question about Deshaun Watson. I was not saying that. I have violated everything I said a minute ago. I was quoting a preacher.
Oh, right. I heard that part of it. But do you agree with that? What he's saying?
No, I don't. I mean, I have gotten in my work. I have driven with countless women and have also lunched with them or been out with them because I feel pretty comfortable not only of my own situation but of theirs. These are women with
right,
whom I am
right.
friends with. But I was just I think it's an extreme view. I will tell you that. But I do think if you are in any walk of life, it doesn't matter whether you're you run a small insurance company or the preacher Joel Osteen. I mean, you better be aware of these things, and they all are. And even though they all are, they all, not all, but a number of them have made grievous mistakes. Hey, thank you. It's a great topic. Diane, I apologize. This is not, we have to go. We're about to run out of time. We will finish that conversation later. Rick Haro is next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.